He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday. It is the April 28th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We've got a split market here today, Barry. We've got a division taking place. We've got some heavy profit going on right now in the tech, AI, semiconductor, chip space. But, man, what can I say? It's been on a scorching run here, that's going to happen from time to time. I've watched it many times over the 25 years I've been a money manager. And on the other hand, there's some pretty good action in the energy patch, the oil patch. Not much else. Some of the inverse funds like SARC are doing well. But overall, right now, we have the Dow. Let me refresh my screen here because it's moving as we speak. The Dow right now is up just a little bit. The Dow is up 0.21%. Actually, it's only up 41 points right now. The NASDAQ has actually come back a little bit. It's down 170 right now. It was down almost 280 just a minute ago. The S&P is down 42 basis points. Gold is down 105 to 4588. Gold has really lost its luster here. I'm glad we cashed in for some pretty big profits in gold a while back. In the meantime, oil, the most important commodity in the world right now is oil. Oil prices right now are up 3.3%. Actually 2.9% to $99.12 today only per barrel. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We're talking Best Stocks Now, and we're talking a heck of a lot of world events taking place in the world right now. Everywhere from the Middle East, the Straits of Hormuz, to the Poconos, and down to the Hamptons, and down to the tip of Florida, and over to the Gulf of California, and everywhere in between. We live in a very active world right now. It makes it a little harder being a money manager, but then again, Barry, it's always been an active world. Over the last 25 years, I don't know that we've had many quiet days along the way.
Yeah, it fills the show up with content, put it that way. There's definitely plenty to talk about.
Yeah, I never run out of things to talk about, and some people, hey, Bill, quit talking. I have so many things rolling around in my mind. Well, let's go back to where we ended yesterday. It was a fairly flat day. It was a mixed day for the market yesterday. We were up yesterday. Oil was up to 96.11. Now we're up to 100. And that's the major factor that's driving the higher PE tech stocks down. That's fear of inflation, they call that, fear of inflation. The 10-year closed at 4.32% yesterday. The market ended mixed yesterday with some strength. I'll tell you where the strength was. Micron, SanDisk, these memory chips. Okay, good old Germany's Merz, Friedrich Merz. He's no fan of Donald Trump. He says that the U.S. is being humiliated by Iran and it lacks a strategy. We have no strategy. Well, what's Friedrich Merz's strategy? German Chancellor Friedrich Merz has said the Iranian leadership is humiliating the U.S., which quite obviously went into this war without any strategy amid a lack of progress in negotiations to end the conflict. The Iranians are obviously negotiating very skillfully or simply very skillfully by not negotiating, Merz said, during a visit to a school in western Germany. A whole nation is being humiliated by Iranian leadership. Are we still defending Germany? I think we are in the NATO, right?
I mean, a handful of their leaders are ghosts. So I'm not really sure which leadership you're talking
ghost?
About.
European leaders are ghosts?
No, meaning the leadership of Iran has been.
They're speaking from the grave, right?
Right, and so I guess. When I saw that headline, it kind of threw me off, and I'm thinking, like, well, the first set of leadership doesn't exist anymore, so what do you mean, who's humiliating who?
Was it not Germany that signed the deal with Putin's Russia?
Yeah, exactly.
To buy their oil from them? That didn't work out so good. So he's mad that the Europeans were not consulted before the U.S. and Israel launched a giant attack on Iran on February the 28th. So Mertz weighs in from Munich on his thoughts on this Iranian war. Affordability tops U.S. financial worries for the fifth straight year. Boy, I'll say that. By the time I fill my gas tank and go get a couple of ribeye steaks, there goes my whole paycheck for the week, Barry. I mean, it's pretty crazy right now, huh?
It is. No, it is. Beefo was talking to talking to a couple of folks, in the agricultural business, a couple of days ago, and it was, we were talking about beef, and it just seems like, the cost of beef continues to go up no matter when I look at it, what time of the month it is, what kind of special is going on.
We should have invested in cattle futures
right,
many years ago. You know, I eat very small portions. That's my saving grace. I would rather have like 3 or 4 bites of something really good and high quality than some big massive thing that covers your whole plate, with a bone in it and all that kind of stuff. So I'm okay, but it is. You know, I even look at a bag of chips, a bag of Cheetos at $7.11, and Walmart told the manufacturers, guys, you got to get it down under 7. This looks really bad on these bags. So there's no question about it. The affordability of many, many things have gone sky high, including, and this is probably one of the biggest factors, the cost of payments on a 30-year mortgage, because we're still running in the mid-sixes. That's why we've had this massive boom in apartments. It seems like everywhere I look here around the South, I see another apartment building going up. We're becoming a nation of renters. California billionaire tax will be on the ballot in November. Well, I don't live in California anymore, and I'm not yet a billionaire, but that friction over taxing the rich is enveloping the coast, the right coast, the left coast. It's those rich coastlines that seem to be all for this as a way to fund social priorities and balance budgets. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani is currently in a boxing match with Citadel's Ken Griffin after filming a video that spotlighted the hedge fund manager's Manhattan penthouse. Okay, I guess it's evil to have a Manhattan penthouse in Mamdani, so tax the hell out of him. What else can you do?
Yeah, I saw where he's talking. I think Ken's going to talk to the governor today or something. I saw some.
She's not a whole lot better.
Probably
Kathy
not.
Hochul up near yes. up in where is it? But where do they? Albany.
I guess if Dad gets mad, you go ask Mom or what?
Yeah.
I don't know what the thought process is there.
And Griffin is building a Manhattan project that would create 15,000 jobs, and he's threatened to stop it. So now this fight is going to the California, where the SEIU is behind this one. A measure proposed has gained enough signatures to make it onto the ballot. It's called the 2026 Billionaire Tax Act. Why do I see Bernie Sanders when I hear the word billionaire?
Well, I mean, my thought on this whole thing is, obviously it's going to pass. I mean,
it's going to pass.
Yeah. I mean, how many billionaires are there? And then, of course, how many non-billionaires are there? And I mean, it'd be, you know, I don't know. I kind of look at it as, you know, there's no way that the billionaires could represent themselves in this particular instance, because there's only so many votes.
It's a drop in the bucket. I mean, when you look at the overall tax receipts,
it's really discriminatory. The way I look at it, it'd be like if you picked on a group and that was a very small population in any state, and you said, hey, let's put something on the ballot to, you know, to go against them.
Didn't Marx and Lenin and his bunch have the same idea over there, in Russia? Governor Gavin Newsom says it will drive away the wealthiest residents of California. Really?
Well, probably.
You think? Yeah. Like the leaders of Silicon Valley and Hollywood. Well, you know, Bezos, he lives down in Miami where there's no state tax. He sold all of that stock in Amazon. You know, the Gunderson Best Stocks Now app indicator, the app that I invented some 15 years ago, and we had record sales of the app subscriptions. It's a subscription product on Apple and on our web version and on our Google Android version of the app, which has now been around for about 15 years or so. We were way ahead of our time with a financial stock market app. It is the backbone of what I do on a daily basis here in my stock portfolio selection process. Now, to become a B-plus or better, that's kind of where I draw the line in the database. I have 14 grades that a stock can earn, from A-plus down to F-minus. Do you ever get an F-minus on your report card, Barry?
No, not hadn't had.
No. I don't know if that exists.
Hadn't had one of those. I think one of my worst grades in elementary school was handwriting. So I'm not an artist. So
yes, you know, I learned to do calligraphy and all of that, but I had messy handwriting too, and I taught myself.
Yeah.
How to have neat handwriting. But anyway. Usually in a healthy normal market, we have about 400 B plus or better stocks out of a database of 5,300. So you can see what a selective list that is, and that's the list that I upload to my charts every day and zip through those charts in a very analytical manner as quickly as I can to see where those stocks are at, to see if there's anything I'm interested in new. That's how I find most of my new buys, is through that methodology. 400 is kind of a normal number of B-plus or better. And to become B-plus or better, they've got to have excellent track record as a stock. You can't have Procter & Gamble or Disney or AT&T-like numbers. You're not going to get a B-plus even, maybe an F-plus, I don't know. But you're not going to make it into that upper tier of stock. And you have to have a juicy five-year valuation with 80% or more upside potential. And, of course, I wrote the algorithms, the formulas in there to calculate those five-year. And they're updated every single day as earnings change, as the stock price changes, etc. Well, right now we're up to 928 B-plus stocks. What do we call that? We call that overbought. Now, 6 weeks ago, when I put out my dramatic, stunning, gutsy, all-in buy on the market, I called it, this was one of the most compelling buy opportunities I've seen in the last many years, maybe one of the biggest ones I've ever seen in my life in the market. There was 170 B-plus or better stocks there. That number has grown to 928. It's mostly coming from the momentum side of the equation, not so much the valuation side of the equation. But
that's
it's a broad-based rally to bring the number up to 928. But it also tells me something. Now we've got a lot of overbought stocks that are ripe for profit-taking. And that's what we're seeing on a daily basis. You know, and a lot of people panic during a round of profit-taking. Oh, my gosh, they'll say, why is AMD getting killed today? AMD is like up 40% this year or whatever. It hit a new high yesterday. It's not getting killed today. There's rounds of profit taking. Think of all the rounds of profit taking that I've seen over the last 25 years as a professional money manager. There's times when you have to white knuckle it and grit your teeth and ride through some of that. And there's times when the market gets overbought or stocks get overbought. Gold was an excellent example here recently. That silver run, yeah, it was way overbought. And there's times to take profits when things get too overbought. I don't think that's the case right here. I think it's healthy profit-taking that's going to take place from time to time. The other thing I would say here is the overall market, where we hit 19.77x forward PE on April 6th when I made that big call, and now we're up to like 21.6, somewhere like that. So, and you know, 23 has been the high so far this year. So like I say, a lot of that easy money has been taken, and people that got in when we did are looking to lock in some profits here, and I may be doing the same thing today. You never know. Every day, I look at every single stock we own every single day, and I make one of three decisions: buy, sell, or hold. And most days, I don't want to do anything unless I see something that's out of the ordinary. And yesterday I saw nothing that was out of the ordinary. I haven't had a chance to really open up and look at charts. I start that process right after the show today. But keep in mind that we're up now up to 928 overall B-plus or better stocks. One other comment on the billionaire's tax. I like this comment better than any, okay? Do you know who Sergey Brin is, Barry? Sergey Brin is one of the founders of Google, co-founder Sergey Brin. He said, "I fled socialism with my family in 1979, and I know the devastating oppressive society it created in the Soviet Union." Is that coming to New York City, Barry? Is it coming to California? He says,
"I don't." Some places probably feel like it's already came there.
Yes, I don't want California to end up in the same place. Commented Google co-founder Sergey Brin, who relocated from California to Nevada last year. And I believe that Nevada also is a no income tax state. Others like DoorDash CEO Tony Zhu and Palantir co-founder Peter Thiel have likewise been vocal about their opposition, donating millions of dollars to defeat the measure. Were you in the car with us? Maybe you weren't. Maybe it was the two junior analysts. We took an Uber in Sarasota from the hotel to the airport, and the driver was from Cuba. And he started screaming at the top of his lungs about how socialism was creeping into America and how he's, don't these people
and
know?
And he tried to get away from it.
Yeah, he got it. He's in Sarasota eating at the Owens Fish Camp. You know, he's down in Cuba. I don't think they have any Owens Fish Camps down there. They're lucky to get the lights on down there. But I never heard anybody so angry. I just wanted to ride to the airport. And he's screaming at the top of his lungs about, you know, socialism coming to America. Micron slides, even as D.A. Davidson starts with a buy rating. Now, how can that be? You get a buy rating and the stock goes down. Well, there's a lot of forces at work here. What did we say? Micron's up 70% since the beginning of the year. And by the way, it was my number one pick. Lilly's number two. Lilly hasn't done anything yet. But Micron is up 70%, and there's undergoing a round of profit-taking. It has nothing to do with the analyst report that went out today. They put a $1,000 price target on Micron, which right now is trading at, what, 500, Barry?
Yeah, I saw he puts out over 1,000. Yeah.
Okay, now listen to this. I mean, he's using the same reasoning that makes me so crazy about Micron. He says in fiscal 2030, Micron could generate as much as $393 billion in revenue and $139 per share in earnings.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Do we have a venue, Barry?
No, no? Those hotels don't, they take a little while to get back with, we've got a couple of spaces, and I know we've already got 70 people set for the workshop. So we've
we can meet in the parking lot.
Got to find.
Airport.
Yeah. We gotta find.
I'll find the hot dogs.
We're gonna need a bigger boat. What's the?
Gee, maybe just go back to the. You know, it was real easy at the Mall of America.
It was. Yeah.
Is it that hard to go to the Mall of America? I kind of like going there. I like the little food court. And
there's probably plenty of parking.
The room had a portrait of Bob Dylan in it and Prince
and other
Minnesota things and a great little restaurant. Oh, God. I'll tell you. All right. Palantir. How many irons in the fire does Palantir have? Of course, Peter Thiel and... what's the other guy's name? I can never remember. He's really
celebrity status. I never can remember his name, but I can see him. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, I know exactly. I'm looking him up.
He's kind of a murky-looking guy down underneath the surface there.
Alex Karp, right?
Yeah, Karp.
Alex Karp. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now they're signing a deal with a iron pellet company, Cleveland Cliffs. To deploy AI tools across its operations and commercial processes. So it just seems like, I don't know why Palantir stock is a little soft right now, but
I think it's been hit because of the whole software space, almost like
could
getting
be.
Thrown out with the, you know, they're in a completely different space than Salesforce. I mean,
only software stock that we own. I think it's by far best in class. Because it addresses so many different things, from the war in Iran to iron pellets Minnesota, right? What's that range, the Mesabi Range up there in Minnesota? But Palantir, it was the biggest winner in the S&P 500 last year, and it was my number one pick overall. I only named one stock as my number one pick last year. Eli Lilly Inc.'s gene therapy deal worth up to $2.3 billion with Profluent. You know, that's the deal with Eli Lilly. Everybody thinks it's just a weight loss drug with their GLP-1, their miraculous GLP-1. But they're very diversified, and they've got a lot of cash in their cash register right now to buy other companies. And this gene editing, which really hasn't gone much of anywhere yet, but it's supposedly the future. And they think when you add AI to the gene editing, that makes it even more, gives it even more potential. Lilly seems to think, though, they're spending $2.5 billion on this latest project of theirs. Now we go way down the other end of the spectrum to burrito bowls. We go from, Is Chipotle using AI to construct a better burrito bowl? I don't know. Probably. Chipotle hires a new chief brand officer as it looks to boost guest loyalty. In my opinion, it has crossed the Rubicon into soggy territory as Chipotle. You know, and that happens when they go on a growth binge and just put stores almost anywhere where there isn't a store and there's just enough of their demographics to support it, you start getting stores that aren't performing as well. You become so saturated.
Watered down, yeah, exactly.
You know, the opposite of that is In-N-Out Burger. We're still waiting for an In-N-Out Burger in South Carolina.
Oh, please, come on.
Or in the Poconos or wherever you want to go. They are very strategic about their growth, and they make sure they do it right. Somebody told me, I don't know if this is true, that a burger, In-N-Out Burger in Tennessee, I think they have a couple outlets in Tennessee now.
They do. That's what they said. Yeah, I mean,
who told us that? Somebody. Yeah, it was one of the workshops.
Yeah, I think it was a client or a potential client that came and attended. But yeah, it's I guess the further away you get from the original, I guess geographically, I don't know.
They've been pretty good at maintaining. I've never had a bad one.
Me neither. Yeah.
And I've never had a good one at McDonald's that's fresh, hot off the grill, once in a great while. So I doubt it. But anyway, I don't like Chipotle. Okay, now here's this is a stock that we own in our most aggressive account, Celestica, which is very much an AI-related stock. And I think this one may have a little bit of impact on the rest of the AI sector today. Celestica is a fab. It contracts out is what it does. It contracts out what they do. Let me just give you a little description of what they do. They provide electronic manufacturing, advanced technology, and connectivity and cloud solutions. So they're not the inventor of the products. They're the maker, like Taiwan Semiconductor is to semiconductors. Celestica is to connectivity and cloud solutions. They're headquartered in Canada, and it's been a red-hot stock. They came up a little short today. I thought it was a terrific report.
Yeah, but stronger than expected earnings and guidance.
And they've gone from $2 per share earnings in 2022. They're expected to make $13 next year. The stock is down 14.8% today. After a torrid run, it's been hitting new highs here recently. And that may be a little bit of a drag also on that whole sector.
And that OpenAI story is kind of bringing down that sector, too, at the same time, which is kind of a report of
and I agree
of their
with that.
And sign-ups not meeting, their goals, which ties into, the AI spending, because OpenAI is a big customer of names like AMD, Oracle. You've seen some of these other names drop. NVIDIA is a little soft today, and it really just has to do with, okay, well, if they're not making as much money, are they still going to build this stuff out? A lot of news that I saw said if OpenAI doesn't do it, guess what? Some other big player is going to come in and take over those projects anyway. So
they're
it's probably
in it
getting
too deep. Right. And they've got too much money to spend to not try to dominate the world. And Sam Altman, I believe, is that kind of guy that wants to dominate the world.
Yeah, right.
Just to get even with Elon Musk, if nothing else, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, that's right.
Then they're involved in a big lawsuit, right, with each other.
Just started yesterday, yeah.
Because Elon was part of OpenAI until he split off. He couldn't stand Sam Altman. Sam Altman couldn't stand Elon. Sometimes two people just can't get along, that's the way it is. They're strong personalities and they clash. And that's the problem with Elon and Altman, and they had to go their own ways, but that's cool. That has a lot to do with today's sell-off in tech, especially in the space that would benefit from the spending by OpenAI, right? I'm not a fan of the OpenAI coming IPO. I'm not a fan of the SpaceX IPO. I'm not a fan of the Anthropic IPO. These are giant private companies that are going to go public. And, there's another article out there about they better go cash flow positive pretty quickly after the IPO or the lights come on when they go IPO. All of a sudden you see their growth in earnings, their margins, spending.
Their burn rate. Yeah.
That could be gruesome. Just gruesome. But at the same time, it's got a lot of pizzazz. It has a lot of sex appeal. And there's a lot of people that have invested in the private companies. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that unload that stock when that finally does go public, and when the restrictions come off and all the insiders are able.
What they're going to do is unload it on the public.
You're left holding the bag.
Yeah.
And you're going to have so much overhead supply for years to come of people that are in it. But it's almost a game Silicon Valley plays. The guys at 25 cents per share, they get out when the next round funds at a higher price, and then the next guy's out. There's still guys at 25 cents per share. It is a bit of a pyramid scheme, and money just keeps being thrown at them by institutions, by private investors, by private equity, la, 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 billions and billions of dollars. They turn around and lavish those billions of dollars on NVIDIA, on AMD, on Arista Networks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally it all goes public and the real valuation starts to be realized when people look at price to sales, price to earnings, price to cash flow, price to book value. which are higher than a SpaceX rocket. Well, I know we have 70 people signed up for the workshop in Minnesota, and hopefully, I don't know, when trying to put it together. Oh, what happened there to Barry? Did you fall off your chair, Barry? No, he's okay.
I'm here. No.
Okay, little, I thought maybe you fell off your chair.
Mic bump, yeah.
Okay, you know what? I like going to the Mall of America. You know why? Because we have the whole place to ourselves. There's nobody in there shopping.
Does anyone go to the malls anymore?
It's like having this cavernous place to just walk through and blow off a little steam in between trading sessions. And, you know, I guess I'm going to have to step in and assert my authority a little bit here today and get this. So about 70 people signed up for the – we will have a venue by tomorrow. We will have a venue by tomorrow. But in the meantime – to book an appointment with us while we're there, I'll be there with my team, Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite, the two junior analysts, Jennifer, Edie, etc. Give us a call to reserve a spot. We haven't been to Minnesota in over a year, I don't think. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, to reserve a spot to our Minnesota trip. St. Paul, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Duluth, home of the great Bob Dylan, greatest songwriter of all time. There's Prince coming out of Minnesota. And then there's Governor Walz, also coming from Minnesota. And a few others, the attorney general there. I can't think of his name right now. Okay, all right. So if you want to reserve a spot to Minnesota, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And I'm thinking we're headed to Dallas after that. Dallas or Atlanta. Padres keep winning. Now, finally, our guy Mason Miller, 34 innings of shutout relief. He finally allowed a run last night, Barry. I was watching it on my iPhone. Late at night, I wake up. You know, the games in San Diego, they're on late here.
Did they still win?
They won. He went in with a four-run lead, and they got two runs off of him, and he had the bases loaded and blah, blah, blah. You know, look, I don't always have a great day. Do you have a great day every day?
Not every day. He's just trying to make it interesting for you, Bill.
Yeah.
Keep you up a little later.
I remember when the great Don Drysdale of the Dodgers, I think he pitched 56 and two-thirds. I don't know if that record's been broken of shutout innings. The great late Don Drysdale, who was was in the starting rotation with Sandy Koufax at that time with the Dodgers, and Miller got 34 innings. That will be one of the hardest records to break. That and Cal Ripken's longevity record, right, without missing a game.
The Iron Man record.
Yeah.
I heard him speak one time. He's a pretty good. He's got a pretty good story. In terms of speaking,
but that scoreless inning record. Maybe Kershaw broke it. I have to look that up. Last I knew, it belonged to Don Drysdale. All right, now let's take a look here at the final stories that we're going to end up here today's show with. Of course, in the newsletter over the weekend, I talked about the record profit margins that we're seeing in the S&P 500. Since we began keeping records, we've never had a profit margin of 13.4% for the S&P. And I said next year at this time, we're expected to get up to 14.6%, which is pretty dang stunning. That's just the average. That includes all the bad stocks, all the good stocks, all the average stocks. That is just the average, and that is a very, very stunning number indeed. Okay, does anybody want to hear UPS? I don't think so. That stock went public. I remember it went public. It went public the year Big Brown won the Kentucky Derby with Kent DeSormo on his back. Big Brown was, that's UPS. And by the way, the Kentucky Derby is this Saturday. I don't see nothing that excites me. It's going to be freezing cold there. No thanks. You can have that. I'll sit on my couch, the greatest seat for the Derby, and watch it. Samsung reports earnings. Now, that is not an investable stock. You have to buy it through these Korean ETFs. Samsung is way up. The stock is. If I look at the ETF that it's in, EWY, it is down 2.5% right now. And part of that is their SK Hynix. No, it's Samsung that's having a strike. And their production has plummeted on these memory chips. But their earnings that they reported today were just absolutely blowout earnings. Here's one from the past. Does anybody really care? Does anybody really believe that Bed Bath & Beyond is going to it's going to become a meme stock? It was up about 30% this morning. Now it's down 5% as they're slamming it. Company that went bankrupt. You know that big vacant building in almost every shopping mall across America, Barry? It was once a Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah.
Gone forever. But it reinvented itself.
Every once in a while it's a Sears that got turned into a Sears that got turned into a to a Planet Fitness.
In Escondido, I taught a workshop to a bunch of retirees in Escondido, California at an old JCPenney. Here it was so weird. The mannequins were still there. I felt like I was kind of in a little, like the mannequins are following me around, and it was very, very eerie. The lights were off, and the little cashew nut mixed nut machine was still spinning, and it was very, very surreal. But I did teach a nice workshop there to a bunch of retirees in a vacant JCPenney. Well, okay, we're out of time. We've got a couple events coming up. We will have that venue for you tomorrow. It will be somewhere very close to Minneapolis, which is a big area, I know. But we will have it by tomorrow. And we will also, to make a reservation, 855-611-BEST. You don't have to be in Minneapolis to make a how many appointments have you done in the last 7 days, Barry?
Yeah, I'd say seven. Well, we're probably about 23, if I had to guess.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've been busy. That's what we want.
That's what he gets paid for. Yeah. Otherwise, he'd be in the initial jobless claims line on Thursday.
On Thursday. Yeah, we don't want to do that.
No, we don't want that to happen. So keep Barry busy so he can keep bringing home a paycheck. No, you know what? People are coming to us. They like what they hear. If you like what you hear, get a four-week trial to the newsletter, the app, the live trades. We're having a heck of a year with our portfolios. Call 855-611-BEST for an appointment, or just go online like most people do at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.